Hello, my name is Grant Berger, and I will be your handler. Welcome to episode 8 of Operation Aquarius Public Alias Get in the Trunk Season 3. Really dropped you off on the old hot map Cliffy there last week. How do y'all feel about seeing that beautiful map right in front of you? Your pawns within tantalizing reach of your control, then having it pulled out from underneath you.
It's the second time you've done it, right? Wasn't that the Cliffy of episode 1? Was like a top-down map of Shangri-La. You're standing outside. This is where it all happened. You ready to walk in? You can't, because you're doing it next week. That sucked. But yeah, this is it's terrifying. Every time in Delta Green, when you're just presented with a map, it's very upsetting, because you're gonna see some shit. I don't know.
It's not like Pathfinder. It's not like anything else, because you know anything that you find could kill you instantly or drive you insane. Any given thing. The sense of dread is so much greater.
Now. Well, I feel like other games, like the maps are exciting. Like, oh, I can't wait to see what's on this map, even if it kills my character. But like, you know, the last map we saw, that was a lot of blood, even on like a drawing, and like, it wasn't real looking in the slightest. So like, who knows what we're going to see, man? I don't know if I have a raging Cliffy from last time. I think I was okay with waiting.
Well, you know, and that dread, that sense of the unwanted and the as hard-assed and high-powered as Annabelle Morgan may be, you know, Kate or any regular person is going to be a little bit less excited to walk into those dark corners to see those awful things, right?
Yes, well, as a regular person, yes.
Keep on saying you're a regular person long enough and it'll come true, Kate. It's worked for me. You know, I wanted to start off this week's Creepy Crawly Paranoia Corner, brought to you by Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the book, not the movie, to talk about Skinwalker Ranch. Are any of y'all familiar with Skinwalker Ranch?
No.
Yeah, that's the one outside of Vegas with that guy, and they had that, like, they had that reality show, right? It's like everybody's a prostitute.
That's the bunny ranch.
Oh, yeah.
Different ranch. Different ranch, Ari. Do you want to tell us more about your experience with the other ranch?
Skid knew the name. I didn't.
Skid knew the name.
There was a show at Skinwalker Ranch, though.
There was, and I think there still is. If y'all don't know, it's a... reports persist there. It's a hotbed of UFOs, crop circles, cattle mutilation. It's like that sketch that Bill Hader used to do where he's like, the hottest club in New York is Skinwalker Ranch.
Stefan.
It's known for cattle mutilation, shape-shifting creatures impervious to bullets, and the doorman is an alien.
And the doorman is MTV's Dan Cortez.
Dan Cortez. John Mulaney used to just put up random jokes he'd never seen into the cue cards to make them break on broadcast. And that's where like a Dan Cortez, little MTV's House of Sports or whatever the hell that was called. Anyway, I'm glad everyone here is over 35. Or around abouts there.
Kate was just like, what the fuck did you just say to me?
Not yet.
Are you adjacent?
Adjacent.
Okay. That's better than some people we know who are just like, what is a TikTok? I know. That's all I do. So as I was researching Skinwalker Ranch as a potential thing to talk about here, I came across another holy shit Delta Green convergence moment. Draw your attention to Roll 20, please.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So weird. It's an article that says Post Malone visits Utah's Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh.
Most studied paranormal hotspot on Earth. Post Malone, who was a bumper sticker on our buddy Sean's car, and is also into the supernatural.
Wow. None of y'all did the research on it, but I'll tell you now. The stony shirt that the teen was wearing outside is from, it's a t-shirt of Post Malone's first album. Which features the regrettably titled White Iverson, but also one of his greatest songs ever titled I Fall Apart, which I thought was kind of the perfect shirt for him to be wearing as what happened happened. Listen to I Fall Apart. It is legitimately a good song, and you'll be like, Post Malone is the Guy Fieri of pop music. You look at him and you see all the tattoos everywhere. You're like, I can't take this guy seriously. But then you realize he's actually got some bangers.
Right. And then he'll take you to Flavortown.
He will take you, take you straight with that donkey sauce. He will fill you up with that donkey sauce. But as I got into it, I couldn't research any further, because not only did I find this article that had this Post Malone convergence, I found the greatest photograph ever taken on the next slide.
Oh, come on.
I have so many questions.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So it's like the guy who might own the ranch or something. And then it's Post Malone sitting down with like an AK-47 question mark. I don't know guns.
AR-15?
What is an AR-15 with like a big scope on it? Looks like.
Yeah. It's like modded. An infrared scope.
Yeah. He's standing there with ranch owner Brandon Fugel. Part of the Skinwalker Ranch, a hit series on the History Channel, which apparently doesn't have much to do with history these days.
No, it's been the days where the History Channel actually dealt with history are now history.
Yeah, aliens. I mean, it hasn't ancient been like history. That. Hasn't it hasn't been like that for a decade.
Or more.
Or more, probably, but yeah.
2 decades, so like
15 years. Yeah.
I love like this photo channel. Because of how absolutely square the host is next to Post Malone. The guy is like standing up in like a wool pea coat, and Post Malone's like squatting in the corner of this house with his AR-15 and tattoos everywhere.
I mean, in Post Malone's defense, if I were to go to a place like that, I would want to bring the biggest gun possible.
Yeah, you got to protect your cattle. You got to avoid any shapeshifters whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ended up doing very little research on Skinwalker Ranch because I was so tickled pink by seeing Post Malone have the multiversal implications into our game that he does. Wow. Maybe he's a Delta Green operative. That's what I like to think of as I look at this photo.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was one of the frustrating things with Jordy is it's really cool. The idea to have a Delta Green operative that is a pop star, right? Or in Jordy's case, like a famous author, or somebody that's in the limelight of publicity in some way. But I just don't think it works very well for the game. It's great to have them as a friendly, but to be an actual agent, like you always have to seemingly be anonymous. So like, it's kind of hard for like Post Malone to show up at Yuba PD and be like, hello, I'm an FBI consultant named Bill Flango. And you know, it's going to be like,
Bill Flango. We have to make Bill Flango a reality.
Old Bill Flango. And then they, you know, they just... It doesn't seem to work that well, but what would be awesome is to insert into your game Post Malone actually being a friendly, like a Delta Green friendly that is an NPC. He gives you some information, then he's like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And then he leaves. And we're like, oh my God, we just got this tip from Post Malone.
Yeah, absolutely. We should take advantage of that possibility as often as we can.
Yes. Amazing.
If Post Malone's going to be in this building, then I'm more excited to explore it than I was. At the beginning of the episode.
You're more excited or less excited? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
More excited.
Are you a Post Malone fan? Does anyone here actually like a single Post Malone fan, or am I the only one?
There was one. There's one Post Malone song that I like, but I can't remember.
You all love a Post Malone song if you've seen Spider-Man Into the Multiverse.
Oh, that's, and that's Sunflower. That's the one I like. Yeah, Sunflower. Yeah. That's
he's good. Great on that song. That song's
tune.
Wonderful.
That's a good tune.
I also like him because he's a Dallas Cowboys fan, and he says, my roof looked like a no-show, got diamonds by the boatload. Come with the Tony Romo, meaning the nine. He's coming packing, Joe, with the Tony Romo for all the clowns and all the bozos.
Well, then we should really enlist him for some help.
He might be the person in charge of your secret weapon drop that'll happen this episode.
Yeah, he's clearly the most well-armed person in this episode so far.
Ari looks disgusted.
I mean, the man learned how to play guitar from playing Guitar Hero. And while I think that's awesome, it's just like, if that's happening, that means I'm complete. I know nothing about this.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I played a lot of Guitar Hero, and I can't play the guitar.
Right. While playing, he was like, wow, this game's awesome. Wait, the guitar's a thing? I'm going to learn the guitar now.
Oh, see, that's the step I never took.
And then
I never realized that the guitar was real as I was playing it.
There's such thing as a real guitar?
Yeah, this is mimicking a real instrument?
Well, it's a figment of the imagination, much like Black Eyed Kids. But no, I challenge you to listen to Better Now and not enjoy it. I challenge you. I'd love to put it on for you in the car. And maybe I will one day.
What's going on in your car?
He's probably talking
in the trunk.
Get in the trunk.
Shut your mouth, Arnie.
Get in the trunk. He's more talking to me. Most often ride in his car, so I guess any of you, I'm sure, would jump at the opportunity, but I guess you do it most often.
So I'm not invited to this car listening?
Post Malone car party?
Yeah. Well, you were really negative about his start in the music business, Ari, so I don't know if you're welcome. I might have to pull out my Tony Romo on you.
He's pretty cool. Look, he's a cool person. If I became like best buddies with Post Malone, am I going to say like, hey, I got to be honest, I don't respect you in any way? No, he's going to be my best bud. He's so cool. He's like super cool. It's just like, I'm not on... TikTok. I don't care about all of his music. I don't know any of the people who he likes to enjoy. We have nothing in common.
Listen, I know it's, but I'm telling you, that's why I started. He's the Guy Fieri of that world, and it's a hate on site. It's a read that thing about the article, but you get to know him, you get to know the music, you like him a little bit better. Not all of them are bangers, but there's some certified bangers.
Yeah, you got to get to the donkey sauce of the guy.
What is your equivalent of the donkey sauce, Post Malone?
Congratulations. Is that the... Yeah, congratulations is the donkey sauce. It's the like go-to get 'em song. That song is awesome. But anyway, I digress. Post Malone. This segment of the episode has been brought to you by Post Malone.
We better run into Post Malone.
Oh, man, I have so much pressure on me for episodes 9 to 98.
What was his touring schedule in 2019?
2017. Pretty heavy. He was touring. 2018 was the release of Beer Bongs and Bentleys, and that was his real big release. Anyway.
Maybe he passed through Yuma.
Maybe. Let's see. Post Malone.
All right. This has got to stop.
All right,
just
wait,
another 20
June?
Minutes, Joe.
We
it's
could
June?
At least meet Carl Malone.
He was in frick. He
June,
was
June 2017.
He was in like Canada. He was in Texas on June 3rd.
This is going to make me sound like such an old man. But Post Malone, congratulations, has 1.3 billion views.
You've heard YouTube. That
because it is an amazing song.
1.3 billion. Do you understand the difference between a million views and a billion views?
Nobody does. Nobody does.
It's hard to actually wrap your mind around. It actually is.
That song actually came out the first month of 2017, featuring Quavo. Amazing song. Anyway, everyone can look it up later. Right now, the four of you, Joe O'Brien, Ari Rubin, Caitlin Stamos, and Askid Marr, personified by their agents, Grady Harrison, Dr. Morton, Annabelle Morgan, and Lance Tripper, stand outside of what I described last episode as an abandoned building, more or less.
As an abandoned building. God! So creepy.
What are you
By
doing?
The way, I do know Post Malone. Congratulations. Now that I listened to it, I know that song.
Do you like it?
No. I'm not saying it's a bad song. I'm just saying I wasn't like out for a run. I was like, you know what I need? I need Post Malone congratulations to keep me going one more day. Like it's a fine song.
Listen to it with some bass, Joe Brown.
Listen to it with some bass.
It's a good song, but 1.3 Billion?
Billion.
Billion?
It's because that's it was more... the song of graduations for like that year and the next year.
I love that.
What? Okay, but that's even more views than our videos get.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's like, I think it's, I don't know the math, but I think it's like 50 times more than the views we get.
Well, let's not go crazy.
The other thing is, don't sleep on the 0.3. That 0.3 is 300 million views.
Listen, that's a why. Billion divided by 50 is 20 million.
Yeah. Once you, that's once not you can, average for us, yeah. 20 million yeah, views on our new game, Who DS? 20 mil?
Any week now, I'm going to finally get a billion in savings, and then I just live off the interest for the rest right. of my life.
That's it. That's the sweet spot for interest.
That's where you can rely. You don't have to worry about clipping coupons as much once you have a billion in savings.
Just finally relax.
So you're on this map now. Large cement building in ruins, exposed rebar, toppled cinder box, all covered in decades of graffiti. All the windows have long since been destroyed. You're outside of this building now. What so do you do?
Any number of things. This could be any number of things, but this certainly would fit the mold of a teen hangout or a preteen hangout, like some abandoned building, like out in the middle of nowhere, where they go to like smoke and drink Jolt Cola. This is like exactly the kind of place where
and
this
listen
thing
to
would
Post
happen.
Malone
and listen to Post Malone. Yeah,
they're drinking
a million times.
They're drinking Mountain Dew Code Red Baja Blast Skid. Okay. This isn't 1987.
Okay. I keep getting confused what year it is.
I know. It's hard.
Okay. I think that Grady is going, he's feeling punchy. If we recall, he didn't sleep at all, and he keeps seeing this horrible vision of this teen girl in his mind over and over and over with the baby and all this stuff. It's just terrible. So he's feeling very punchy. And after hearing what Lance said about what he saw out here, Lance and Annabelle, he's not taking any chances. And if there are teens out here that might be like out of their own minds, not necessarily intentionally violent, but just like have lost their minds, tweaked out, whatever the case may be. As Annabelle said, he's not taking any chances. So when he gets out of the car before we walk up to this place, he is strapping on a Kevlar vest from the thing, like under his like FBI looking suit. And he's got a sidearm that he puts in a holster and is just like, puts the the suit coat around the Kevlar vest and is just sweating bullets, and it's just, you know, he doesn't say anything. He's just like arming up defensively because he's freaked out.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably all sweating bullets, being in like early summer in like southern Arizona.
But, yeah,
old dad too. Like he's got the shakes, I think, just from, you know, he's any like. So surreptitiously, like, takes a swig, like, from his flask, which he's refilled with old granddad. And
nice. God, that shit burns. Old granddad burns.
But yeah, he's got his walking stick, and he's just, like, looks at Tripper and Annabelle, and is just like, after you, I believe.
Hell yeah. I feel like this might be one of the few times where Annabelle's like, yeah, I can be good in this moment because, like, I don't have very good forensic skills investigating, but I do have some survival and something else. I don't remember that could apply, but, stealth. So I can, like, sneakily look around the building and stuff like that and just, like, case the joint. I feel like I can do that for you guys.
You want so a case of joint for everyone,
do
you?
I feel useful, and I want to help.
You've also got to have world-class preteen killing ability.
For sure. Many different ways.
So, yeah, go ahead. You want to go ahead and stealth the joint out for everyone else. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, then go ahead and move your pawn on the map to where you would like Annabelle to go, and... then roll me a stealth score.
Is this like, don't know if you can see where I'm clicking, but like there's a divot. I'm sure she can see the front of the building. Is that where the door is?
Sorry, where are you clicking? Oh, I just saw.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah, that seems like the front of the building to you.
Okay, so I definitely want to make my way low to the ground up to like here, if that's where maybe a window is or something, I would assume, and just like try to peek in.
You'll move over to here.
Okay. Where?
And right, okay. Square adjacent to you. And what we see on the map right now is kind of a desert wasteland. There's a desiccated husk of a tree in a corner kind of 40, 50 feet away from the building itself. Some old asphalt that looks like it was maybe once a road, kind of eroding back into the desert. Some motorbike or some other tracks in the sand, and these kind of, you know, power things leading into a cinder block building.
It looks like a map from Fallout 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what I told Brian when he made it, and he did a great job with this.
Good job
one,
again, so. Brian.
Thanks, yes, Brian. Thank you, Brian. This is awesome.
Right, right.
Annabelle, you just have that kind of iris adjustment that occurs to human eyes when something we can see, you know, a much greater latitude, as you know, as a photographer yourself, than like a digital camera or film can. But it's still like the difference in light and dark from this room to the outside is so much so that you just need your eyes to adjust for a minute and you can see the entirety of the inside.
It happened again.
Pete Stillman is not in the room, you guys. It's more blood. Does it look abandoned from what I can tell out here?
Yeah, from what you can tell out here, it looks abandoned.
I'll beckon everyone saying, hey, I don't think anyone's in here. Still be careful. It's another scene, so mentally prepare yourself for that, however you must. And I guess let's go in if we feel comfortable.
Yeah, it takes another swig.
Is that all said with like Navy SEAL hand gestures?
No.
There's no one in there. There's what does that mean?
Oh, sorry. Totally forgot I wasn't in Navy SEAL land right now.
I'm sorry. I totally forgot I was playing a Navy SEAL.
I once left all of the voiceover tracks on Netflix to default to Chinese for my in-laws once, and I turned it on like the next day, and I was just so confused as Seinfeld came through. The humor is so much different in other languages. Anyway, here we go. So you step in, and you guys, you know, you got to step in. You can't just wait on the sidelines like that if you want me to read the flavor text for this place.
No, and Grady is actually happy to step in. And is there any relief, or is there no roof?
There's a roof. It's 10 degrees cooler in the shade at the minimum.
Yeah, so he's just like, comes in, eyes adjust. He's blinking some of like the sand out of his eyes just from like walking through, and then the windy outside. And he looks around and he's just so exhausted. But that's almost a reason that like he's fine to even walk in here, because he's almost a little detached from himself. You know, he just feels like a little distant. He walks in behind Annabelle.
Lance and Annabelle, both of you, as you walk in, even with a cursory examination with your 50 and 80 in survival.
Yeah.
What is yours, Morgan?
Mine is 50.
60. Yours is 60, and
mine's 50.
And yours is 50. So we have a bunch of survivalist experts. Tell us again why Dr. Morton is so great at being a tracker of knowing the wild like this. That's his interest. That's what he does.
Yeah, just because like he just spends so much time in the outdoors in the mountains. Like he'll go camping for like 2 weeks at a time and like fend for himself. Like he's always and he's an outdoorsman. He's like a very much an outdoorsman.
So all three of you kind of have this moment, and it's even more appropriate that Grady feels left out now based off of his sleep schedule, where the three survivalists of the group can immediately tell that the facility is well trafficked, likely by teens and kids. Skid, there are no bottle caps in this game, but you get kudos for kind of sniffing that out right away from a million miles away. There are footprints you can clearly see in the dust, handprints on doors, other clear signs of human activity. And then I'm going to take you back here to unveil a little bit of what that looks like.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Ugh.
Oh. Oh.
So it looks dingy and really gross. It's like an uncleaned oven, but instead of just leaving behind years of baked turkeys and chicken and cakes and everything like that, it's human activity and teen stuff.
Yeah, it just looks like one of those like abandoned mental asylums that teens will like dare each other to go into, and like, yeah, there's like graffiti everywhere, and it's really, in the context especially of what's going on, this is really scary to me.
Do you continue to walk in a little bit more?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Go ahead and move in a little bit more.
I think Annabelle will go towards this ruckus over here. Looks like something might have caved in.
Yeah. It's not all one-to-one as to what you see there on the map as to what's there, as you could tell from that picture. Like, it's a little bit bigger. There's more detail to areas than what's on the overhead map. But as you move in, Annabelle, you notice shattered glass, alcohol bottles kind of strewn about, cigarette butts, and used condoms. Just in like different corners, wrappers. It seems like
fucking Post Malone fans.
Clear signs of Post Malone everywhere.
Yep. There's like Post Malone and cowboy fans everywhere.
They're like locusts that wake up every 12 years just to eat the land.
Oh, dude, I found one the other day. It was really weird. Yeah. I was pulling out bushes that we're just like getting rid of, old bushes at this house.
You woke them up early?
Aww. Yeah, it was wild. I was like, whoa, maybe 6 inches underground when I was ripping the roots out of this thing. And I'm like, whoa. And my daughter's helping, and she's just like, hey, what is that? And I see this little movement in the dirt.
Oh, no.
And I pull it out, and it's straight. I've never seen it before. It was a cicada all the way underground. Wow. And it was just like, like barely moving in like a little ball. And I was like, how is this thing alive all the way under the dirt? And it was my wife that told me, like, you know, when I brought it up, I was like, I don't know how this thing is alive down there. She was like, well, they're underground. They hibernate for like 12 years, remember? And then they all come out. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I had completely forgotten that. But I found one mid-hibernation and
Did you look up what year they're going to wake up around your neighborhood?
No, I didn't look. But I remember it happening within the last 5 years, I feel like. So it's going
to
be a while.
You got a ways away, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be able to explain to your children the terrible noises they're hearing when it happens.
Yeah.
They'll be old enough to understand. Imagine how lucky we are that our evolutionary standard is not to procreate so that 85% of us are eaten or killed immediately upon awakening, and just to live long enough, those that are lucky enough not to be killed, to procreate once more and then die. Like, what an awful life.
Speak for yourself. Yeah. Also, Grant, I think you are describing the human race about 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. Fair enough. And speaking of that lifestyle, you get a sense, Kate, and so does everyone else, that indigents, teenagers, kids can often be found here. And more than one stairwell you pass, Kate, smells of recent urine.
Oh, God. Smells like a subway tunnel.
And there is blood.
In the urine?
this person should consult a physician.
Troy was in here.
I typically don't interrupt recordings for when Angel comes in to give me things. Angel, you can come by and wave at everyone. Angel brought me cookies.
Oh, that's so nice.
Right,
that's
as nice we were break. Talking about the blood and urine.
Now that is helping my sanity. There are good things in the world worth fighting for.
You just summoned your Patronus, granted. But really,
I want a cookie delivery.
You didn't have to splurge on the urine chips.
How did she know?
Oh man. All right. So what do we got to do here? Can I roll a search, or are we in the middle of somebody else's search?
Roll a search.
Okay.
I want to roll a search.
I'm just going to say Grady's looking around, see if he spots anything.
I'll be a team sport and roll, but it's not going to be pretty.
Ooh, 28 under 50 for old dad.
Old dad crushing it.
And Grady just walking around, rubbing an eye. Eyes feel like they're burning. And he rolls a 13 under 60 with a minus 20 is 40. So a 13 still a success.
Don't touch your eyes in this room, Grady. You don't know what you get in really there. Annabelle and Lance.
Got a
Lance. I rolled an 80. So I guess I just like walk into a wall.
He's like a he's like a video game character when you've dozed off with the controller, just walking into the wall continually.
I just have the base of 20, so I roll a 32. I don't know what to look for unless I know what I'm looking for.
You're overwhelmed by the human aromas around you. However, those that passed see that several areas seem to be covered in blood, which is something you see even with a failure. Those samples of the immediately apparent bloodied areas are old and dried to a black stain. Lance, you would know that blood this old and dried cannot be typed. The bottoms of staircases and corners of old walls have been used as urinals. This is something your search brings up, those of you who are successful. Who succeeded again?
Grady did.
Grady and Dad.
The two of you together find one place fresh enough to still be wet.
Oh my God.
Urinals. Not the blood.
Oh, okay.
So you find like fresh, kind of wet, peed upon pavement and cinder.
Is there any way to get a... I don't know. Hey, Lance, come over here.
Yeah. What's up?
There's fresh urine over here. I know that you're fond of tracking animals by urine. Any chance you could smell this and lead us to a teen?
I know you're fond of teen urine.
I was reading in your profile that you have an obsession with teen urine.
Oh, no.
He's just going to say, you got any way to maybe get a sample of this? Something we could take back for, I don't know, some kind of identification?
I take one of my forensics baggies and kind of scoop up some of the urine, I guess. The blood-filled urine, fresh urine. Do I have to roll a forensics?
You're not to collect the urine, but you might as well roll because something else might happen.
I was going to recommend you don't need to roll if you collect with your tongue. It's your choice. It's your as a character. It's your choice.
I rolled
Joe,
a.
I am sick of you, backseat GM.
I rolled a.
I'm just saying a lot of success with tongue collection. That's all.
I
I'm
rolled
saying.
A 78. That was a fail. 78 for 40.
Okay, so you're able to collect the urine and
I get it all over my hands.
It slips, and he's like, "Oh no!"
You'll be able to type it at a lab in another few days.
Okay.
Another few days.
Well, it might only be a day. We can give you another forensics roll then. You'll do it at the same time you do that liver slice.
We should, if we can, get fingerprints here too.
Excellent point, Skid. Another a mode of admiration comes from me to you. There are fingerprints here. You're able to find them all over the place in common areas of entry. The same places that all of you survivalists find footprints and whatnot, you're likely to find someone's hand touched nearby if they're near a wall or near something else. So there are all sorts of places that Lance can use his forensics packet and some dust and a brush and the peel off the prints and do that.
Great.
Is there anything else here that, like, I feel like when there's teens around, it's like maybe things that they're doing here left about, or is it just kind of like vague mess?
You bring up an excellent point, and the way you phrased that was very important. If you had said it differently, Kate, I wouldn't be bringing up this point now, but you said things kids do, things people visiting this place do anyway. The graffiti that's all over this wall is certainly something worth looking into.
Oh.
There's so much graffiti in the facility that I don't know if you've ever walked down a heavily graffitied part of New York City, but sometimes there's so much tagging that you can't appreciate one design for the other. It's called going graffiti blind. So there are some checks to do.
If we spot something in the photo, are we able to call that out? Or do I have to roll for that? Roll in search.
Let's roll a search, and then we'll have you let's have everyone roll search, and I'll let you call it out upon a success from someone.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Oh, 17 for old dad Morton.
Yeah, and Grady rolled a 10.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, Lance rolled a 92.
Oh, come on.
A 92. Lance. He falls right into the urine again.
Lance. say what you think you saw while you're covered in urine.
Okay, I'm covered in urine, and between the steps. Between the steps? Betwixt, right by the steps, there is some red letters that seem to spell something out.
Look at that vision.
Piston or pistachio and some numbers.
Kristen, yeah.
Yeah, it says pistol, CBD, and then like BZ. It is a nice string of numbers, but to you and what you understand, it just seems to be like no more meaningful than a vision test at an optometrist. Well, Dad, now that you've made such a successful roll with your search, something pops out to you. And with your success, I'll show you this particular area.
Oh, there's like scales in it, it looks like.
Advanced. There.
Scales in what?
Like the graffiti. Yeah. It looks like a...
Can you see what I just unveiled?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Look at
that graffiti. I can never read this stuff, man.
Look at that graffiti for a while and try to make out what you see there.
Like a T-A...
Sandra?
Yeah, like ADRA is the
daggone, the lower one.
It? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, whoa.
The lower one says daggone.
Oh, my God.
Which is something you were able to view because of your high search skill. And you were able to pick out particularly quickly, Dr. Morton, which is just befitting that it also was you, IRL as Skid, because of your occult and unnatural capabilities that you've seen because of the research you did over several days leading up to coming here. Perhaps part of what drove you to drink as heavily as you are right now, and you're coming face to face with it again. in this place?
Oh my god. I think perhaps these young people somehow uncovered something that they shouldn't have. I don't know why they would know this name. We should find out who did this.
And he points his walking stick at the graffiti,
as in where they learned about it.
I'm wondering,
is there any other graffiti in the same exact lettering style?
If you look at the top photo, you can see something similar to it.
Yeah.
Same artist, the same tagger. It almost looks like the beginning of DAG, but it's kind of been subject to time's cruel hands, making the fresh paints inspired by the stylings of Mark Echo fade to the sands of time.
Maybe I'm reading into this, but it does look like the one in the first photo. It does look like there's some sort of scale motif, like in the lower half of the graffiti, you know?
I see what you're talking about, yeah. Oh, God.
This is, oh, my God. Well.
So creepy.
This is a lead.
You know what Annabelle would love to lead. Do? Since she's not good at searching, but it seems like people still come through here. She'd love to stake the place out. And wait to see who comes back. If anyone would like to join. Or she can do it alone.
Yeah, and also, just Grady would bring up with Lance. Did I don't know if you already did this, because I know there were like survivor roles, but I would like to look for similar footprints of the similar sneaker in the sand outside the building.
Yep. Good call.
Sure. Just get out into that area. You do start heading outside.
Is that actually survival in Delta Green, or are we just bringing that over from Pathfinder?
Survival. It's still survival. You used to find tracks and trails. Yep. So I guess it's tracks.
Great.
Oh, that's not so. It's not search.
No, search is like searching a scene for hidden items and stuff like that. But visually, it also works out that way. And it worked really well with that graffiti that you were looking at earlier. Was there another instance you thought we used the wrong one, Ari?
No.
Okay.
I'm curious, like, the blood splatter. Is there any kind of pattern to the blood splatter within that room? Like, I know it's concentrated in that one area, but
do a forensics roll for me.
I'm on a roll here. Yes! A 9.
There you go,
nice.
Buddy.
You look under the dark corners of things and are trying to examine this blood a little bit closer, and as you do, you uncover something that is familiar to you from work. You find animal bones scattered throughout the site. I've unveiled a picture of it on Roll 20
what?
Now.
You're sacrificing animals?
It has nearly shrine-like qualities to the piles that you've found. They're gathered in several areas. Do you spend time examining them, Lance?
Yeah.
I'll speak for Lance, yes.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
You get a sense, based off of your experience, that at least a dozen animals have met violent ends here at the hands of humans.
I say to Dad. Dad, you think that, you know anything about animal sacrifice and calling upon Dagon? I mean, could these kids have kind of sacrificed these sacrificed animals in hopes of
contacting Dagon or something like that?
There are any number of cultures that employ animal sacrifice in their rituals.
But yeah, could I do a check on that for the specific to a Dagon worship? Do an occult check or something?
Maybe I could do it if it's an anthropology. Could we do an anthropology check?
Yeah.
Yes, you get a sense that it is associated with Dagon worship.
Well, this would be consistent then.
But what's more, Lance learns even more because he's so skilled, because he's a park ranger. He's able to tell what kind of animals were sacrificed here.
Awesome.
It feels like it's a coyote, three dogs, and more than 10 cats ritualistically slain here. And based off of the wounds you find, trace hair, chips in the bone, it seems like it was done with a machete. Finally, the newest dead animal has been here for perhaps weeks. But the remains of almost everything have long ago been picked clean by voracious desert ants. Before you're able to go outside to look for tracks, you kind of look around and you see, put you back on the map so you can react. You see a doorway leading down that seems like it's kind of covered with something.
No.
Yes. No.
Wait,
this is
what?
Exactly what I wanted.
You saw like it's aged spray paint. You know how like the roads that's out front, the cement, the asphalt as you see out front is kind of being eaten away again by the desert outside and the paint is peeling off of the top.
Uh-huh.
That same motif, that same sandblasted abandoned building decay occurred here as a table is toppled over, something going down, and you see a stencil above and it just says abasement.
Sub-basement.
What do you do?
Oh, dude, this is exactly... I was just going to say this, like, maybe 10 minutes ago. I was like, I want to look around for, like, a downstairs somewhere in here, a hidden stairway. Oh, my God.
I'm so frightened.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, Grady is just like, he'll go down. Fuck it.
Annabelle, you go first, my dear. Please.
No problem going first.
I'll be right back here with my flashlight.
She'll be stealthily because it is like newer area.
You get the sense that you can be stealthy insofar as where you place your feet and the amount of noise you make, but you cannot be stealthy visually because you will not be able to see without the aid of a torch, aka a flashlight.
I do have
my
night
gun
goggles.
Has holographic sight and a targeting laser. So can I just, like, look through my gun?
No, the holographic part of the sight is the way that the red dot shows up in the middle. Like, if you ever played, like, a first-person shooter and you see down and there's, like, a little bit of amber and a floating red part, mm-hmm. that red part is, like, a holographic projection instead of something printed into, like, acetate. And that way you can see the target but also see through the target and still shoot. It doesn't give you, like, night abilities. But, Skid, you mentioned you had something.
I have civilian night goggles.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have night goggles on my sheet. Did I have to say that I took them here?
I think we said we didn't let you bring that one, right?
I have a flashlight on me.
So what's going to happen? I'm going to say that if Skid has civilian night goggles, because Dr. Morton likes to raise Kane and then go out late at night with his night vision goggles, I'll allow that to happen. But that means that you will have to go down into the sub-basement alone, because any flashlight from anyone else would immediately blind you. You will have to go down there by yourself, and everyone else will have to wait upstairs and hear... Come on down from you. You'll have to be all by yourself, like quite a ways away. Any light going in?
Sure about this, Annabelle?
I mean, do you want to go down there with me? Do you think that's the better solution?
Yeah, I don't think any of us should be alone. I certainly am. I'm not going down alone.
And I can defend myself.
So I wouldn't expect anyone else to either.
So if something is down there, I feel pretty confident. But if we go down together, if something's down there, we'll definitely be seen.
I'm just asking if you're sure. If you're sure about this, I'll take your recommendation. Because I know that I'm not... I'm going to be nothing but clumsy down there, so...
I'll go down there with you.
I think she's saying she wants to go alone, Lance. She doesn't like you.
I thought we connected at that gruesome murder of that teen.
You stink right. of teen urine.
Yeah, you've covered.
You stay back.
Teen.
They'll smell you a mile away.
I feel like this is me not playing as myself and playing as Annabelle. And that's what I'm trying really hard to do right now. Like, not play right and not play the game safely and right. Play it as she would. And she is a risky person.
Yeah.
I think Annabelle, I think she might even see bringing any one of us down there as a liability.
Yes.
We just get in the way of what she needs to do in this situation. You know?
Yeah. So I think that, yeah, if you're okay, she'll use your goggles and go down there and sneak around and make sure it's cool and then call you down. Unless there's trouble, then you'll hear me yell.
All right. Lance, you seem like you're raring to go and you're ready to go with the flashlight. So I feel like you'll get like a boost as far as like being ready to like rock it down there like a dog at a racetrack. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That was me being a dog.
Dogs can't talk.
Once again, answering for Lance.
That was me being a dog.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready to go. I pull out my gun along with my flashlight, and I'm just, like, ready to pounce, even though there's no reason for a gun just yet.
And Dad pulls out his flashlight and his archaeology kit, because it's all he has left.
Okay, there is a spare pistol for you. There were two spare pistols if you want to have a pistol. But
I'll take a pistol then, yeah.
Okay, you have a Glock. Grady has a Glock. I believe Annabelle and Lance have their own personal sidearms from their previous lives. You guys have to move some of the things blocking the entry to the sub-basement away. Let me take you to a new map as you descend by yourself into the basement of a place where... animal sacrifice seems to be a cool thing to do.
This is just like Silence of the Lambs, but reversed. Because she has the night vision goggles.
Yes. Oh, God.
Imagine this all in green starlight mode through night vision goggles. Boing!
Boing!
Oh, oh wow. Oh, man.
No. Her heart rate is rising. For sure.
Thunk, 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 thunk. Your night vision goggles pierce the darkness as a cavernous space stretches its maw out in front of you. You see chunks of glass strewn about the floor, still reflecting back whatever ambient light is coming from the base of your civilian night vision goggles. The night vision doesn't penetrate very far because it's civilian. You feel like a flashlight would let you see further. You see the beginnings of what look like, I don't know, structures. Structures, and you see at least two of them. I'll unveil a little bit more. They seem to be like in columns or rows. Go ahead and give me a stealth check.
Stealth. All right. Let's see. Come on. What's the double zero? I got double zero and a seven. Is that a seven?
Double o seven.
Nice.
Phenomenal.
I'm ready for this. I'm ready to be useful here. She's ready to use her training. She is stealthy right now.
That is what James Bond would roll if this was the last mission he was on in the movie. One last check, James. He would roll 007.
Give me an alertness.
Alertness. A. Okay. A 10 and a 0. Is that a 10?
Yeah, 10.
Okay, cool. I get confused sometimes with when they're round numbers.
No problem. You nailed it.
Crushing it.
You did a great job on your stealth check, and your heightened awareness, how limited your vision is now with those night vision goggles. You listen, and you listen, and you reach out into the darkness with your senses that don't rely on light, and you don't hear anything. You drop a pin in this place, and bing!
Interesting.
What do you do?
Start shooting. Start randomly firing.
So, can I see this pile of bones and blood in front of me?
You see a pile of blood and bones at the base of one of the areas. They look like human bones there, but they are animal bones.
Okay, cool. That was making me concerned. Does it look like old blood or fresher blood?
It looks like the old blood, Kate. There's power in the old blood.
And then... All right, so I guess we want to figure out what these structures are. I want to go closer towards the structure, kind of keep it in front of me. Like, I'm going to sneak up right to here, I feel like, and look around. Like
coffins or maybe something.
Inspect it.
So you want to look at this area, and you can kind of tell these things are, arranged like this. You're getting a better sense of this room. And this is just I won't tell you how much of a fraction it is, but it is not the whole room you were in. Yeah. You're still by yourself. You haven't called anyone down. You walk up to it, and what was your stealth roll again? It was really good, right?
7, 007.
And your awareness was great. So you see all of the pieces of glass that you could potentially step on and cause a giant crack noise that would, ruin your stealth. But it's surrounding this wrought iron cage, it looks like. And the space you're in, it's about the size, like, do you step like into the cage space?
I thought it was like a solid structure. No, I don't step into it.
Yeah, it looks like it seems like a solid structure, but it's like there's seams. Like, you can see the seams of it, and there's, like, you look down at the glass in the ground and then into it, and it looks like there was, like, glass on the inside in between here at some point.
But it's like smashed or cracked.
Oh, God. I'm not letting my metagame brain run away with me right now.
And you look up, and you see this one is labeled 06. But yeah, you don't have a good idea of what they're for. What do you do now?
So they look like tanks.
Oh, God.
That's a pretty good guess. Do you have search?
Search. I just have like the base search. It's like 20 is what I've been rolling.
He's breeding goblins with orc men.
I mean, I'll roll it. Like, I feel like she'll try to.
Sure. But... Go for it.
Yeah. 69. Oh, wait.
That's the best possible
result. Oh, my God. Kate got a 69.
Holy shit. Prep.
Oh, man. Oh, it's about to happen.
Oh, oh, my God.
Awesome. God, Annabelle is in
that was really
her
bad at first.
Element.
Oh. All right. You still don't really have an idea outside of your hunches on what these things are for, but as you look closer, you look down, and then you look up. and you can see just at the edge of your night vision, you went down probably like 20 feet into the sub-basement. There are pipes from the ceiling that kind of point towards this cage. And if you look a little bit over, you see another pipe going down to the next cage. And then you look down at your feet and you see what looks like a drain at your feet as you stand in the middle.
Weird.
You can see, I think you can see the pipes like on the far side of these,
yeah,
these things, you know?
Yeah. And I should caution y'all, I for the most part everything is like pretty accurate, but like I had a debrief with Brian after your session at the Abril House, and I was like, yeah, they loved your map, but sometimes they imagine things that aren't there. And he listened to the episode several weeks later and was like, oh my God, what? I see what happened. So I will just say that not everything is 100. Like, those are human bones there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a one-to-one totally accurate
idea. Those are human bones?
Damn it, Joe. But yes, in this instance, those look like pipes leading up.
Okay.
Are they disappearing into the ceiling? Those pipes? Like, are they water pipes? They're like piping in water into these jaws?
She does have a mechanical engineering background, so she would know to look for that, I feel like, or know to try to understand it.
Yeah, you have a 20 in mechanical engineering, and I would say that you can pursue this lead further, but not with the night vision as it is now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You got to figure out, maybe bring in some other people, maybe if you feel safe enough. But as it is right now, I'm stretching the credulity of what I believe you could see with these shitty night vision goggles here.
All right. I feel like even though this is a giant room, Annabelle's seeing all she can see with these night vision goggles. She hasn't heard anything. She knows she needs more help investigating at this point. Doesn't want to mess up anything. So I think she'll call everyone down.
Grady will come down with a flashlight.
Dad, too.
Same thing with Lance.
Okay, and we'll let Lance lead if you want to, Lance, because you are the...
Grady puts a hand on his chest and just goes, I got this.
Oh.
Step aside, son.
Yeah, wait, just kidding.
Did you put your hand on my chest?
Completely out of character.
Did you put your hand on your chest?
I put my hand on my chest.
I'll say,
I'll be in the back.
This I pledge.
Well, Lance,
if anything happens to y'all, I will be closest to the stairs. This I pledge.
I'll be first to escape.
Lance heads down.
All four of you head down, and as you do, your four flashlights pierce through the space.
There's so many of them.
Oh, there's so many tanks. They were growing teens.
There's easier ways
very much
to grow teens. Like, you don't need to do this.
They build a tank in the basement.
Yeah, and then they're shocked. They're shocked when the teens go upstairs and graffiti the upstairs. Like, come everywhere. On, guys. Like, hey, you grew the teens. It's your fault. You got to deal with it.
You vat grew these teens.
You made a choice.
I'm picturing a hideous monster walking around picking up condoms. Just be like, would you stop it? Of the premarital sex in the upstairs.
What are you kids doing up here?
And the peeing everywhere.
And you're peeing.
We have a toilet.
Wait a minute. What is this? And he's holding a used condom, and all the kids are just cracking up, like can't even talk. They're laughing so hard. What is this thing?
Do you remember that era of SNL where all the sketches would just be the same joke 20 times? There was like one sketch during that era where like this mom and dad find this teenage couple about to have sex in their bedroom, and the kids are like, "Ah, beat it, mom and dad, we'll go have sex behind the old railroad tracks." And then the mom and dad are just like, "No, no, no, honey, we want you to be safe and supportive and have a warm, we just want you to be doing things safe and with protection. Screw you, mom and dad." And like they just go back and forth and try to talk the kids into having sex at a safe place, and they just refuse to do it. I think they ended up in this basement. So you all come in down and you see just rows and rows and rows of these. Do you think hundreds of these? Do you continue exploring?
Yeah.
I show them the pipes. Like, hey, look at all of this. They're leading right into whatever these structures are. There's drains on the ground.
Grady will keep walking, like just shining his flashlight around in his left hand, and like he's not touching his gun with his right hand, but like he's ready to grab it if needed.
All right, so you're all ready to rock if anything happens, and you walk down, some of you more convincingly than others, with your flashlight in one hand and your sidearm pulled out, trigger finger ready to go. You continue to go through and you see the rows change. You go from 6 to 16 to 26. You're walking down that same row that Annabelle looked through here. This one right here that she's in front of right now. That was 6. 36. 46. 56. 66. 76, 86. It keeps on going back. You've gone hundreds of feet into the sub-basement. The room you're in is multitudes larger than the above area of this place.
What was this place?
That's something you might be able to do research into.
Yeah, we didn't know before we came in, right?
Yeah, no one said, like, let me research this place.
Let me research what it was.
Let's just go out there. If one of you guys had, I would have given you. And we can still do that if you make it out of the sub-basement, Joe.
I am not holding my breath.
You keep on heading back and heading back and heading back. And I'm going to say you keep on heading back until you tell me you don't anymore. 106. 116. 126.
Oh my god.
136. 146. 156.
Where are we going, 166, guys?
166. 176. 196.
Oh my god.
The point you get there, all of the tanks have the same thing in common. They all seem to be broken, glass shattered, or otherwise cracked. As you walk past it, you can't help but walk on it as you go across. Immediately next to the tank labeled 196 is one labeled 197.
Wait, that was what was on the door, right?
Oh wait.
On the closet door.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Patient 197. Private home arrived.
Written in blood on the closet of the spare bedroom door. Closet door.
What do you see in the photo in front of you?
There's bones and blood in the photo in the tank, and there's graffiti on the metal.
It's painted in complex patterns like a shrine. You see shades of blue, red, yellow, and green covering this tank.
Can we do a search just in this one?
Sure.
There's a bunch of bones there. I mean, are these offerings?
Maybe.
Are they anything different from the other ones we've seen?
I also want to know if we can tell if the glass was if broken from the inside or from the outside.
Well, I literally just rolled another 69.
Yes!
Oh my goodness gracious.
I'm not even joking.
You are looking through the various bone shrines. Lance can tell you that they are made of similar bones and animal types of what you saw upstairs. Skid, you find in the middle of the file, Dr. Morden does a used condom in the center of it.
Oh.
Come on.
That's so gross.
We should take that for investigation.
Well, at least we got some DNA.
Yeah, you can definitely run that DNA.
Yeah, I put that in my little forensic baggie.
Yeah, it's interesting how we're all, like, blood was awful, but, like, the real awful moving backwards reaction was towards the semen.
Well, just the thought of, like, gross. Having sex in this...
in this area?
Is like, yeah. That's, like, just... it's horrible.
Yeah, this is much more of a murder hole than a loving hole.
Yeah. At least they were safe. At least they were protecting themselves.
Right. Yeah, why are they using condoms? That's a funny thing,
too. I know,
that
seems awfully responsible for people who would do something like this in the first place. But I have a weird theory.
Go ahead.
I have a weird theory. I really want to find out what this place once was, who owned it, because... what the first thing that leaps to mind is the events in that take place in the book Shadow Over Innsmouth with all the hybrid fish people in that town. The government came in, wiped them out. That was the start of Delta Green. Maybe they brought those people back here and kept them here. Maybe that's what this is.
Mm.
So with a 69, I'll also tell you that you get a sense that up until row 197, this goes back any further, that you've pretty much, like, I'll save you the time, basically, at this point, mm-hmm. of searching the rest of the room. This is the most notable thing. This is the most interesting thing down here. All the rest of these cages or structures or cells or tanks or whatever the hell they are all basically the same outside of this one.
I mean, I'm unnerved. I think if there's nothing else to see here, we should leave and look into this from somewhere else.
Yeah, can we take a picture of this, of one ninth of this, you know, this particular tank? Maybe get deeper analyzation on the coloring and the designs that are on it. Also get pictures, of course, of the graffiti upstairs for just tagging purposes, similar styles. See if we see anything else around town. But
run through a database.
Can I get like a swab of inside of where the tubes come into whatever these structures are, just in case like we try to do research on here and it's like there's no basement to the place and it's like some sort of secret thing. Sure.
And see what was running through those pipes. Was it water? Was it salt water?
Yep.
Swab of urine, photos of graffiti. What else are y'all wanting to look up after you get back?
Yeah, DNA testing on any blood samples.
The condom samples.
Condom. The liver.
The urine sample.
Liver. We'll get into... the audit of all of Grady's finances after failing that check last episode.
Yeah. Son of a
That'll
bitch.
Be perfect. Okay.
You see how much a wedding costs? God damn it. It's a nightmare.
So I see everyone heading out. I see Lance taking his forensic baggie full of all sorts of goodies at this point. And analyzing them. Dr. Morden, you want to look into what this place was, look mm-hmm. into records and whatnot, and Kate, you mentioned you wanted to do a stakeout.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah,
maybe
great idea.
After we learn more about the place, just to have more information going in.
Okay.
And okay. Grant, I would like to learn if this was, using forensics, if this was, if the glass was broken from the inside or the outside.
Okay.
Actually, I'll do my stakeout while everyone's doing their thing, because I don't know what Annabelle's doing during the time.
That makes sense.
Yeah, might as well.
You would probably get, you'd probably get antsy.
Yeah.
So you all file out. Lance, let's get to your results first, which will take a... give me a forensic check to see if this takes 1 day or 2 days.
13.
All right, so it takes 1 day. The fingerprints that you find in this location and from the fingerprints you found that were taken by the Yuma PD of what was the remains underneath the truck match. You find matches in between that here and at the Abriel house.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Things that did not register in the national database registered here. Mm. When you examine the liver, you find an abnormal growth and an excessive amount of creatine.
What?
You also find
HGH?
An excessive amount of this creatine in the urine samples you find at this location. This is a compound formed in protein metabolism, and it's present in a lot of things, including the liver, where it's often produced. It's involved in the supply of energy for muscular contraction.
It also retains water.
Yeah, and there's a difference between creatine and creatinine, which is what I meant to say.
Oh.
So they're chemically, I believe they're similar. Creatinine is a basic compound, C4H7N3O, formed from creatine. And creatine is C4H9N3O2, found in the muscles. I believe that creatinine is a byproduct of using creatine. It's my understanding. I should have researched it more, but I think that's what I understand it to be. But I'm glad I was able to get the molecular formula out there for the nerds who are screaming into their headphones right now. Is there anything else you were looking up, Lance, from a forensics?
Yeah, I wanted to know whether or not the glass was broken from the inside in these tanks or from the outside.
It's been so long, it's difficult to tell, but you can tell that the one that you spent the most time with, 197, was broken from the inside out. But the rest could be all sorts of different ways. With that 13, I'll let ride over. The DNA on the condom makes no matches.
Huh. Okay.
Dr. Morton.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
You go through some of the old microfilms, microfiche, and you begin looking up articles on this area. You know that it's known as the Naval Medicine Annex. And you find this note. I'd like Skid to read this one.
Truckloads of crime. Military convoy brings prisoners to Yuma Flyfield. Oh my god.
Oh my this god, is, Skid.
Oh my god.
You
1929.
You figured it out.
Witnesses along
the entire story.
Witnesses along Route 195, I-95, reported yesterday that they saw the government moving 5 truckloads of quote prisoners to Fly Field. Noted by one report, the trucks entered a facility that was surrounded by a perimeter of wire fencing and guard towers. Read more, page C7. I mean, this all fucking lines up.
Wow, you figured it out.
You figured it out. And that was Get in the Trunk Season 3.
Congratulations, Grant. Nice work. Oh, man. We'll see you next season.
My watch has ended.
Shadow over Innsmouth, the prequel to Season 3 of Get in the Trunk.
Skid, you also find this item.
Oh.
Go ahead and read it, Skid.
All right. Yuma Daily Sun. A year later, Monday, July 7th, 1930, new medical annex, Navy medical annex to employ hundreds. The annex facility was built by the Navy as an expansion on Fly Field. Ground was broken by Arizona Governor Dan Moody on 12th January 1929 and is open today, 7th of July 1930. The annex maintains its own guard booths, parking lot pavilion, and cafeteria. It is currently staffed by 35 doctors and over 120 support staff for its primary function of treating tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis, interesting. An affliction that has haunted Yuma since the days of the territorial prison. Let's see if I can hand. You also learn from your researching that there is a record of, from the state, 254 facility employees from 1930 to 1947. Almost every person on this list would be long dead by your calculations.
Except?
Well, I mean, look, your scores are good enough to tell you this.
The teens.
There are... this takes a day.
Okay.
You have Peter Delgado.
Okay.
Living in Yuma. Ophelia Winters. Living in Vermont. Luisa Perez. Living in Albuquerque. And you can find their public records, and they have landlines because they're so old. Let's head over to Kate at this point.
Oh my God.
On her stakeout.
Spy on the teens.
Kate, how do you see yourself doing this stakeout?
So there's not a lot around. There's that dead tree. Trying to zoom
let's
in
say,
on
let's say you can be further away if you want to. You could be in the hills. You could probably find some other equipment to help you surveil if you want. It doesn't have to be limited to the space of the map you see in front of you.
I'm wondering if there's a way for me to get equipment to where I can be far away and like see some goings on of the outside. I'm not trying to see what's going on the inside. That's kind of unreasonable, I think, for what she's trying to do. But if I can do that, then I'll do that.
So you find high ground, you wait, hoping to find these wayward teens, indigents, and other lost souls in the middle of the desert heading to the Navy medical annex. I'm going to roll the first luck roll on this evening to see if they show up tonight. 30. No dice. The sun rises. You sleep through the day. Kate, I'm going to let you roll for night two.
All
51
right,
or higher means something might happen.
Come on. What is this? 97.
Oh, yes.
Everything happens.
On the evening of June 17th, 2017, you find in the distance three figures walking towards the Navy medical annex. These figures are taking no pains in hiding themselves. With your alertness and the fact you're actively surveilling the location, you can make them out. One is a teenage boy, the biggest of the three. He has a blank look and is dressed in shorts, a sleeveless undershirt, and Nike sneakers. He's wearing a backpack. The other is another teenage boy, smaller than the first, thin, with large, bulging eyes that you can see from a distance. And the final is an adolescent girl with blonde hair, wearing overalls, a t-shirt, and deck shoes. She carries a fluffy teddy bear. If you looked at the still from the video that you took earlier, it seems like it may be the same girl that you found in the video footage.
Dude.
I want to know what you're going to do when we continue Operation Aquarius.
You better come up with the exact right answer. You have one week to kill.
Take your shot. Take a shot. Take a shot.
God, how do you not?
Oh my God.
So horrible. It's the most horrible thing we've ever done.
Horrible.
God.